Have you ever wondered what it's like to bite into Nerds gummy clusters? They're fruity. They're tangy. They're gummy. And they're crunchy. Nerds gummy clusters, a union of fruity sweet gummy and tangy crunchy nerds. Unleash your senses. Shop now at nerdscandy.com.
And that's a great thing about Black Mirror, I think, that on to sort of, you know, the top level, it's just an entertaining watch. But when you really look into it, it just says so much about the state of society and the economy and, you know, worldwide affairs. And it really, it's so genius the way it brings all of these things to your attention without you really realizing that it is.
Hello and welcome to Black Mirror Cracked, the podcast for all your Black Mirror needs. My name's Sachandrika and I'll be your host.
Today we'll be talking about Nosedive and I have a special guest in the sound booth with me. It's...
Hi, I'm Vicky Newman from the Showbiz team.
So Vicky's a colleague here at the Daily Mirror and is a huge fan of Nosedive. It's one of your favourites.
It is. I love it.
Yeah. So what should we talk about today? What are one of your favourite things about Nosedive?
I think the really interesting thing about Nosedive, but I mean, with Charlie Brooker in general, he seems to have this like kind of unusual knack of being able to glimpse into the future. Yeah. And like see what life's going to be like in a few years. And I just think with Nosedive, I mean, it's all kind of central around social media and how it's kind of really taken over the world, really, to the point where people kind of, you meet a random stranger in the street and you give them a mark of between 1 and 5 stars and everything depends on your rating. Think about like an Uber rating, but for everything.
Have you looked at your Uber rating?
Yeah, I think I've got quite a good one, you know.
Yeah, you're friendly. Mine's decent. Mine's like over 4.5.
It seems to be like in London, like obviously it's from a generally friendlier place in the northeast.
The land of Narnia.
In the northeast.
Where are you from, Vicky?
From like Tyneside. And there, like, you'd never get in the back of a taxi. Like, you sit up front with the driver.
Really?
And you have a little chat on the way, swap life stories.
I bet you do.
You do. Like, that's the norm.
I think it's a London taxi, black taxi hangover, isn't it?
I think it is, yeah. But, yeah, you just kind of, you know, you learn...
A bit forward, if I can. Like, hello, driver, we will be talking.
Yeah, you learn everything about each other on the way. It's like a little mini therapy session.
I think it works better when they hear your accent, which is from Tyneside, where many celebrities have been grown.
Well, this is true, but I think everyone says it's a friendly accent,
yeah.
So you're kind of, the second I start, and especially round here, like in London as well, the second people hear the accent, they're kind of like, oh, where are you from? I love your accent. Are you a Geordie? It's an like instant icebreaker.
We're talking about work, and we're having a joke about Ubers and things, but... That rating stuff has a huge effect on work. There's that colleague who's shut up with Chez,
So basically, he seems to have, like, he's had sort of quite an average rating, and then one day splits up with his boyfriend, who is another person at work, I believe, and everyone kind of takes the boyfriend's side and kind of freezes him out, and they start giving him really low scores. And then it gets to a point where his score falls, I think, below... 2 point something,
yeah.
And literally the doors of the building that he works in won't open for him, and it's like that this kind of social standing you've got, which is your score, kind of really reflects everything in life. I mean, the main character Lacey, she wants to rent this like really cool apartment, and she's told that she has to get her rating up. She gets really caught up in this fantasy, and she thinks that, you know, life is going to be so much better if she improves her rating and gets this apartment and everything. And like you say, it really is kind of manipulative. I mean, I moved recently just to make my life easier by living closer to work. So I'm in Isle of Dogs now.
Because you were a bit further out.
I was miles away in like Plumstead.
You know about a big move. You came all the way down to London.
Well, yeah, I mean, that's a perfect example. I mean, obviously, yeah, I had a lovely life, you know, at home, and I had my own flat and I had a great job at my local paper, and I got this opportunity to come and be a showbiz reporter in London, and it's such a huge change, but you know, it has changed my life for the better, and you know, I've got all these exciting opportunities now, and
you do exciting things.
Being a guest on a podcast with you know, wouldn't have been doing that in South Shields, would I?
There is, yeah, there's something in that move. It was on my mind because I have to move again soon. That it kind of, the hologram kind of made real the kind of hopes and dreams we have, but because it makes it visible, it is like a creepy. It's a bit too much of a fantasy.
Yeah, it is. It kind of, I mean, you know, there's no guarantee if she gets this apartment, she's going to find. I mean, this hot guy's imaginary, really, isn't he? You know, she's not necessarily going to find anyone who looks anywhere near as good as he did. It really is a fantasy, but Lacey really gets caught up in the fantasy and in believing that a life's going to be so much better, and she really, a life becomes all about getting this increased rating and kind of boosting a social standing. And obviously, you know, it really takes a toll on her. Obviously, it doesn't work out in the end at all, does it? But God loves a tryer.
Yeah, she's very likeable. Bryce Dallas Howard as Lacey. She kind of really fits that really cute candy pink 50s sweet aesthetic, which really made me think of Hang the DJ.
Yeah.
The inner world in Hang the DJ.
Yeah. And I think this episode in general really does explore kind of the way things could go, and like I honestly think like Charlie Brooker must have some kind of secret portal to the future. Like he seems to just, I don't know, have you watch the episodes and it seems ludicrous, but you can imagine that it is going to get there. And the thing with social media and this score and everything, I was saying to you earlier that I've got a 12-year-old niece, and literally her life is about our social media. And, you know, she came to visit us in London recently, and all she talked about the whole time she was here was, oh, so this many people have liked my Instagram picture. And she was like, have you liked it yet, Vicky? You need to like it as well. And I was literally stood with her, and she was making us go on my phone and like the Instagram picture that she just posted, like, while I was stood with her. And then she was on about the, like, how many people have viewed her Instagram story and her Snapchat. And they do this thing as well on the kids. You know, the kids on Snapchat, this thing called streaks. I don't know if you know about this. Basically, if you Snapchat with somebody back and forward every single day, you get like a number of streaks. So say like you'll have like 30 streaks of Snapchat of that person back and forth 30 days in a row. And my niece, she's literally getting up a phone, blank screen, drawing a big S on it and sending it to all her friends just to keep our streaks going. And I thought, well, you don't actually get anything for having this streak. Like, so what actual purpose has it got? Literally nothing. But that's just, they're obsessed with it. And I just think I couldn't deal with being a teenager now, these days.
Well, nice times like being an eternal teenager, isn't it? Because I feel that Lacey's friendship with Naomi, played by Alice Eve, played with, I think, a real lack of vanity. Because I would hate to be, like, the bitch friend.
Yeah.
And, there are female friendships like that, but I like to think they've gone from my life. I think when you get over 25, certainly.
Yeah, certainly, yeah. I mean, like, obviously, I've had ones like that as well. And but yeah, once you get to a certain age, you kind of, you've had enough of that and it's gone. She takes this opportunity. She's got this friend who is a 4.7. She desperately wants to get her score up, so she tries to reconnect with her friend by sharing a memory of this little rag doll they made together at art camp.
I think it's called Mr. Rags.
Mr. Rags, it is. And then they kind of reconnect. And out of nowhere, this girl asks her to be a maid of honour at her wedding, like, in a couple of weeks. And
alarm bells should ring.
It That's doesn't... Not nothing happened. Like, nothing kind of sinks into her. She just... Yeah. All Lacey sees it as, really, is an opportunity to go to this wedding, make an incredible emotional speech in front of all these high-ranking people.
The Instagram influencers.
Yeah, and get a score up. So in a way, they both are kind of trying to use each other.
They are, yeah.
Because you learn later in the episode that Naomi only wanted Lacey there because it tested well to have a lower-ranking old friend. and it would look good. Whereas you might have a much simpler life, but you laugh a lot more, you're a lot happier. And I think she's one of these people, and she's really beautiful, and she's kind of used her looks to advance herself in life. And she's got this this husband who's really high ranking, and all his friends are 4.8s or 4.9s. And she kind of, you do wonder whether or not this is a genuine relationship, or if she just wants to be in that world so desperately that, you know, she seems really fake, doesn't she? She doesn't seem genuine.
She's the kind of friends who don't say, oh my God, one of your oldest friends is covered in mud and crying. I would like to think if I was not responding to that, my friends would say, what is wrong with you? Your friend just hitchhiked here and is a mess. Let's help her. But none of them have that reaction at all. They're just like, who is this mess? She does not belong with us.
Yeah.
They actually listen to her to begin with. But
but they really look down on her because obviously they can all see a ranking. And by the time she gets to the wedding, there's been all sorts of mishaps, and she's fallen her scores down to like 2 or something, isn't it? It's really, really low. And all these people just see this low rank and human and kind of turn the turn away. And it's like, it's a sad state of society that kind of is, you know, it does exist in a way, in a sense of, you know, if people walk past a homeless person in the street, and they'll just avoid looking at them, and they'll turn the gaze. And it's the same sort of principle, isn't it? Yeah. That they're looking down on this girl just because she's got a low ranking, and therefore they are better than her, and they are more, you know, well-placed in society, and they don't have to interact with her. That's the way it's kind of viewed. And
it's like an age-old story, isn't it? It's like a great Victorian novel in that way. And what's great is just before we have the trucker, who's like got 1.4 or whatever it is. And the trucker's the best character because she tells a very true story of the fact that her husband was ill, he had cancer, and that is why they lost their ratings. He ended up losing his job. There's a comment on American healthcare, huge hot topic at the moment in the week, that Donald Trump has a go at Jeremy Hunt about the NHS because of the marches on the weekend.
Yeah.
The Jeremy Hunt comment tweets him, and Jeremy Hunt makes sense, and we kind of actually want to like Jeremy Hunt. This is a painful dystopian present we're living in. But actually what happened to the trucker and husband was he was moved from his hospital bed for someone with a slightly higher rating.
Yeah.
That line really stuck with me, that is US healthcare, that's not universal healthcare. And it is about poverty, and it is about the kind of things that Jack Monro has written about and risen to fame through writing about. Once already you're living on that breadline, everything's more expensive because buying in bulk is cheaper, and buying better shoes means they last longer. So when you are poor already, you end up spending more money and being further out of pocket, and the ratings just seem, you know, to be the same thing, because Lacey's on this just downward trajectory.
Yeah.
She can't stop it. And it's funny and it's awful, but it just makes you think of poverty and of class and how impossible it's become to move. And healthcare bankrupting someone, that's like the opposite of how the world should work. So it actually, for me, like, hit home in lots of ways while still being this really fun
watch. Yeah, and that's a great thing about Black Mirror. I think that on to sort of, you know, the top level, it's just an entertaining watch. But when you really look into it, it just says so much about the state of society and the economy and, you know, worldwide affairs. And it really, it's so genius the way it brings all of these things to your attention without you really realizing that it is. And it just really sort of hits messages home without having to try too hard, because I think if it was just someone standing up there making a speech about this issue, you don't really, you know, if you don't think it directly affects you, you might not necessarily give it that much attention. Whereas a show like this, it tells you without ramming it down your throat, do you know what I mean?
Yeah,
it
entertains you.
Yeah.
So, what do you think some of what we try to do in terms of digital journalism attempts to do that? Because sometimes you've got the big three, news, showbiz and sport, and of all of those three, often showbiz is the one that's maligned a bit by people, like, why is that news?
Yeah.
What I would say to people is, if the numbers are there and people are reading it, then it is news, because people want to know about it. And number two, sport has a huge amount of celebrity in it. Do never try to tell me that sport isn't about celebrities.
I have this argument with people quite often, actually. But obviously, I came from a more traditional news background, working at my local paper. And there is that kind of like, there is that sort of viewpoint where people do look down on showbiz a bit and they say it's not real news and it's, you know, a lot of stuff and like, who cares? And you get, you see Twitter.
Quite a lot of people.
Twitter comments constantly are like, you know, you'll tweet a story and people message you going like, is this even news? Who cares? And the way I always argue it back to people is I say, you know, personally, I couldn't give...
A monkey's uncle.
That
sounds so much better in your accent.
The word I was looking for. I couldn't care less about football. So therefore, should football news not be a thing? Because I don't care about it. I never read a story about football. I never click on the sports section on our own website because I've got absolutely zero interest in it. But that doesn't mean that it's not news to somebody else.
Just because you don't rate it doesn't mean someone else doesn't rate it.
Exactly.
I think for me what's more interesting is the psychology of the reader, so why people are interested. So as we'll see here, like Black Mirror isn't usually one that will, isn't a show that will do well on our Facebook pages, for instance, because our audience and those Mirror TV and Mirror Celeb like a bit of Holly and Phil. Mm. Kind of Big Brother, like celebrity reality stuff, and that's fine, we know that audience, that's okay. But I think what cuts across all of the celebrity and anything like that is the parenting aspect, is the where can I see my life writ large. Mm. Where can I understand, like the Kardashians, the source of a lot of the world's horrifying problems, but like Kim Kardashian, I'm not especially interested, but Kim Kardashian had a baby by surrogacy. Now things around infertility, people find that really hard to talk about, but people are experiencing more often as we're having children later, and for loads of reasons. And that would teach someone that this is an option.
Yeah.
It might be very expensive, but there are options around fertility. Did you know that? And if you follow the Kardashians, you're kind of forced to learn about the several ways you can hide pregnancies or not, or have them in different ways.
It's all about a baggy coat and a big handbag.
It's fascinating that Kylie Jenner could keep it secret. And again, going back to the Kardashians, are a great example for this show, for Nosedive, that they've shown what tight control they have to have Kylie be able to hide it.
Yeah.
Because her bump was sizable, bless her heart. She was adorable.
And we were talking about this yesterday. It was pretty much all we talked about.
It's fascinating.
Yeah, it was. I mean, obviously, you know, it was kind of known in a way. Everyone suspected that she was pregnant, but it was never actually addressed. It was never commented on. There was no cold hard fact. Yes, Kylie Jenner is pregnant. And you think about, you know, it's a 9 whole months essentially, for considering how much she was in the public eye. She's been actually really, really clever in hiding it so well.
I admire it.
And all the, like, the big, I mean, there's the video she released, so if you've seen that, like an 11-minute mini documentary, that's brilliant.
I haven't seen it. I've seen stills, I think lots of pictures.
So this, like, this little mini documentary essentially kind of tracks the 9 months of her pregnancy, and you see her going for her scans and having a baby shower and everything. And you think even all those people who were at a baby shower and all these things, that not one person shared the photo, or, you know, it's a lot of trust. She's got some good friends.
Yeah, and she made the decision. She wanted it to be something for herself. She lived her whole life in the public eye, and she wanted this to be for herself, which I kind of admire.
Yeah, I mean, when Keeping Up with the Kardashians started, I mean, Kylie was only about 9, so...
Younger,
you know,
than your niece.
Yeah, she's literally, you know, lived her whole life essentially. She'll barely remember a life before fame, really.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, I mean, that's what she said, that she wanted to, you know, have this one thing, do it her own way, and just experience it in a normal way with just her friends and family. And you have to respect that, you know.
I like it. Yeah.
Although, you know, everyone was desperate for the story.
Of course. I think being able to keep it quiet, and yet all the people keeping it quiet. You know, celebrities like asking people to leave their phones at the door at weddings and things, but so you can't take pictures and videos. So now, you know, comedians in particular don't want the whole set put on YouTube. And so people, there is a move towards privacy, but it's asking for the world to change. But actually, Kylie Jenner did it without asking. This is great timing, actually.
Yeah.
It's really, really pertinent to Nosedive that she is a celebrity of the online era, because Kim Kardashian's sex tape wouldn't have gone anywhere without the internet. It would be very difficult to keep copying.
And she regularly breaks it. She loves breaking the internet, does Kim?
Oh yeah, she does break the internet. Do you think that Naomi would be someone who might look down a little on the Kardashians, but she would use similar social kind of platforms?
I think she'd really should secretly aspire to be more like the Kardashians. And the thing with, you know, with this family, they do get a lot of hate and everything, but you've got to admire the empire they've built from you know, from what you like did essentially start with one member of the family making a sex tape. I mean,
this is a Black Mirror episode, the look, rise of the Kardashians.
Yeah, I mean, look,
you start with Kim being best friends with Paris Hilton, 90s Kim,
yeah,
sex tape, people are like, oh god, and you think, oh god, this girl's life is doomed. Fast forward 20 years and that family rules the world.
Yeah, I mean, essentially that's what happened. The Kardashians rule the world.
Oh my god, it's like the Waldo moment. The family, let's you know, entirely women, and the missing hole where Rob Kardashian should be in every in every picture. And it's just even better that her dad was OJ's lawyer.
Yeah,
you couldn't write this family.
The Kylie Jenner video yesterday, I got really excited about it because I thought, I mean, it might have, in fact, broken YouTube records, because it had been online for 12-ish hours and it had like 23 million views. And, you know, that's insane to think that, I mean, personally, for work and personal purposes, I watched it about 6 times myself. So that's added to the tally.
Mostly for work purposes.
But yeah, you know,
I heard it's actually good.
It is brilliant.
It makes you feel something.
It is brilliant. But you've got to think about, you know, if I went and posted a video on YouTube, it's not going to get anywhere near that, is it? It could be up for the rest of eternity, and it wouldn't get 23
Don't
million.
Don't get yourself down. You never know where this podcast might take you. If people weren't interested in Kylie Jenner, she kind of wouldn't exist in terms of social. So it is news.
Totally, yeah. I mean,
people get part of the decision making in what's news now to a certain extent, which they didn't before the internet. And in terms of how we decide what works as a story, we look at our analytics, and then you decide, well, what do we follow up? And obviously, the Kardashians is a no-brainer.
Mm. Not necessarily most, but a vast chunk of our content comes from social media, because celebrities, you know, minor or major, put everything on social media, that, you know, everything they go on, and like someone will put a picture with someone, like a boy, and you'll think, oh well, are they dating? And everything, you know, kind of comes from social media, and people post videos about things that have happened to them, or people comment on things, like something will happen, like, I mean, some big scandal or something will happen, and then people start commenting on it, and high profile people will have their say, and then there's another story, such and such has their say on this. And, you know, social media drives a lot of our content, and also obviously we use it to push our content out as well. So it's very kind of, there's a big full circle, you know. I mean, social media is really at the centre of our world, certainly, and you can really see things going the way of nosedive, where it is going to get to a point where you bump into a stranger in the street, they're a bit rude to you, you give them a one star, it's the ultimate insult you can give them, and you walk off, like, no need to even say anything to them, you know, just give them a rubbish rating.
Imagine what road rage become. Oh my god,
I know. I mean, that in nosedive, it's so part of the lives. I mean, even right at the very start, Lacey goes for a jog and she's not even looking where she's going. She's literally jogging along the street on her phone, and then people run past her in the opposite direction. It's like, hi, how are you? Oh, 5 stars, see you later. Like, that's the interaction that they get. And she goes up to people, and when she's trying to get boost her rating, she's being overly nice to try to get people to like her, in kind of a desperate bid, like, please give me a 5-star rating. She's like going out and buying like coffees for people and like muffins and things, isn't she? And the guy who gets locked out of the building, he's done a similar sort of thing where he's run out and got smoothies for everyone, for the whole office. He's walking around desperately trying to like palm these smoothies off on people and get a nice rating in return. And that's actually what kind of triggers the start of Lacey's downfall, isn't it?
Because she does something nice.
Because she's nice. She takes a smoothie and she thanks him and she gives him a 5-star and he's like, oh, thank you so much. And the second he walks away, her phone starts beeping and it's people knocking her down and it's someone in the office is like, you know, we're on the other guy's side. Like, you shouldn't be doing that.
It's a bit like the echo chambers on Twitter, isn't it? It's like, we're in our bubble.
Mm.
You can't try and break out of it. It is really sad because it's also knocking someone when they're already down.
Yeah.
And the image of him not being able to get into his office is just it's horrible.
But then she has similar things like that, doesn't she? Because when she's obviously going to the airport to make it to this friend's wedding and with this big speech she's got, I mean, it starts off initially, it's this real sort of chain of events that kind of ruins her, where she's arguing with her brother and a taxi drives away because she doesn't go straight out and he knocks her down, he gives her a bad rating. And then she gets to the airport, her flight's cancelled, and she gets really frustrated and she shouts at
the stewardess. Nicole, who's so brilliantly kind of robotic.
Yeah.
And, oh, she's just brilliantly horrible.
Yeah.
She turns up again in USS Callister.
Yeah. So she basically brings security over and he knocks at a whole point, doesn't he? And it's only temporary, 24 hours, you'll revert back to, you'll get your point back. But from now until then, you're on double damage. So anytime someone knocks her down...
Yeah, it's rather than one point, it's two. It made me think, would you just go home and hide? You'd be a hermit. Would it create a society of hermits if we kind of...
Yeah, but with Lacey, she's so desperate to get to this wedding and recover and get this score and this luxury apartment that she wants to buy that she can only get a discount on if she's 4.5 or above.
She's already put a deposit down
that's probably not refundable.
Yeah, I don't think it is.
She never says, but her brother does ask about it.
Yeah.
You know, so unless she gets to this wedding and redeems herself and gets a score up to 4.5 by hobnobbing with all these, high rankers, she's going to lose the apartment, she's going to lose the money. You know, what would that do to her social standing? And you know, it's kind of a real knock-on effect. And so with the flight as well, so the flight's cancelled. And there's a seat left on another flight that's leaving that night, but you have to be a certain rank to get it. And because she's just knocked down by the taxi driver... she knocks into a woman, doesn't she, and spills her coffee on her.
Outside her house,
and that woman knocks her down.
Yeah.
So she's just under this score and she can't get on the flight. And then by the time she has all this double damage and everything, she goes to rent a car, and the car is, your ranking will depend on what quality of car
it's
you can get.
It's like a credit history, I suppose, isn't it?
Yeah, in a way. So she ends up with this like banger, because she's got a rubbish rating.
And it only talks in Czech. All the instructions in Czech. And I'd forgotten that, but I put subtitles on this time, so I like caught everything. And it's like, because you don't realise from the sounds. Like,
yeah.
I don't know, but it says like square brackets, like car speaks in Czech. And I was like, that's what it is?
Yeah.
And she's so lost and alone at that moment in time.
Yeah.
And it is really sad. And that downfall from grace, she doesn't deserve it.
She doesn't. She doesn't really... I mean, there's two ways you can look at it, though, because you kind of think, you know, is it her own fault? Because if she hadn't have been so set on abusing this opportunity she had with this old friend getting in touch to increase her ranking, then none of that would have happened. She could have happily gone on and lived her 4.2 life forever, couldn't she?
How would you turn Naomi down, though? Like, you'd be afraid Naomi would downrate you.
I mean, that's true, yeah.
And there's also this thing of proving yourself in front of... Her relationship with Naomi is so toxic. It's both the friend that held her hair back, but also the friend who might have slept with a very serious ex, Greg.
Yeah, a friend probably was the one who was encouraging her to throw up in the first place, don't you think? She's holding her hair back.
I don't know. It veers into a dark place, but they keep back from it, don't
you? Yeah.
They never quite name... eating disorder.
But I think a part of it is, you're right, that she wants to kind of go and she wants to prove to this friend who maybe was a bit mean to her and looked down on her in school because she was prettier and everything and she was more popular. Maybe she wants to go and prove, like, you know, look, I'm doing all right. And
there's this, like, school reunion element to it.
Yeah.
And does that feed into our social as well? Do we? Is it quite nice if some of the girls from school see that things are going okay? I tend to only really be in contact with people I'm friends with. We're quite nice girls.
Yeah.
But I don't know, if your social profiles are kind of all looking quite good, what if the mean girl at school who was quite cool happened to stumble upon you on Facebook and saw that you're living quite a good life? Like,
yeah.
That'd be nice for her.
No, I mean, it is interesting. I mean, I talked about this with a friend a while ago because I'm really only in touch with, like, the odd person from school. One in particular who's been, like, a good friend all the way through. But most people, and, like, I did get bullied a bit in school, like, purely because I had ginger hair and I was a bit of a swat. That's school for you. That's school for you.
Kids,
and there was talk of a 10-year reunion at some, not like a proper organised one, but just like people through Facebook getting together. And I thought,
easier
well,
to do through,
yeah. And I thought, well, I don't really want to talk to anyone necessarily because otherwise I would have actively kept in contact with them. But at the same time, you know, it probably would be good to go back and go like, oh, you know, I'm relatively successful now. What are you doing with your life?
Yeah, everyone has that impulse. Absolutely, yeah. Everyone has that. There's probably a German word for that impulse. There's like, you know, Schadenfreude.
Yeah.
Like 10 words.
The
together.
Germans have a word for everything.
They do. So what's actually interesting, it's only occurred to me, is that why have Naomi and Lacey fallen out of contact? Because like our world is this completely connected world.
Mm.
And I think there are good reasons why you fall out of contact with people. Mostly, sometimes there aren't and you regret it.
Yeah.
But with Facebook, I mean, it all started with Friends Reunited. That was kind of the beginning of social networks. And it was about getting in touch with old school friends, and that went very wrong for some relationships.
Yeah,
because there's a lot of nostalgia about your first love and about that time of life. My teenage years were okay, but I wouldn't go back because of that feeling that goes away in your late 20s. It does, any of the youth listening, when you stop caring about what other people think of you. And I had that through uni. I still really cared. I didn't write as much as I should have done. I didn't do any student journalism, which is insane. And I really worried about not what strangers reading it would think, but what people around me who at the same college, who weren't necessarily my friends, and would make comments, what they would say. And that is such a shame.
It is a shame. And you know,
the nosedive is that world.
It is. It's kind of your whole existence is based on what other people think of you and how they rank you out of one in a 1 to 5 scoring. Mm. And it is sad. I hope it you know, it doesn't come to such a brutal way of life, because it is truly brutal. And you know, everyone likes someone who's just to be friendly and everything, but there is, you know, everyone has your days where you can't be bothered and you just, and, you know, imagine, like, you just can't be bothered to make small talk with someone in the lift, and then they give you a really rubbish score.
Also,
and
in
then
a lift? What law would make people talk to each other in a lift? Surely that you should be allowed not to speak to each other.
Yeah. On the tube and that, no one wants to talk,
oh,
do they?
I know.
So,
I know. It's not time.
It's very frowned upon on the tube.
Were you told that, or did you have to find that out?
I mean, I've found out in ways. Since I've moved here, I've only lived here just over a year, and there's certain things that kind of I'll do as just norm, and people look at us like I'm a bit of a weirdo.
Like what?
The main thing, right, and everyone always thinks it's mental when I say this, right, back home, right, in the old country, it was perfectly acceptable to walk up to a complete stranger and
this?
Ask them if you could stroke the dog, right? Perfectly acceptable.
Not a euphemism.
Nice little dog, right?
I like that you are gauging the size of the dog with both your hands. It's like a good Billy Bass, the singing Billy Bass.
You know, just
good size,
yeah,
dog.
Just a nice dog. Oh, it's cute. It looks friendly. I want to stroke it.
I think that would be okay.
No, people here think it's weird. Honestly, I've done it a few times and I've stopped asking now because I've gone up to people in Canary Wharf before when I've been out getting me dinner, right? And I'll say, oh my god, your dog's really cute, can I please stroke it? And they look at you like you've literally just escaped from an insane asylum. Like, they think that's not on. How dare you suggest touching my dog? That is my dog. That's the mentality I've found in London.
Do you get the DLR to work now?
I get a bus now.
keep an eye out for Dickie the Pomeranian. I will show you his Facebook page. So I live just kind of towards Canning Town. So
yeah.
Like only a few stops on the other bus. And I got the DLR in one day, and there's a cute little Pomeranian who's snuffling about. Do you know what I mean by that?
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, they're so cute. And he was like, snuffling around, came over to me, and his owner's really nice. And she was like, oh, he's got a Facebook page. And I was like, you are absolutely kidding me. No, because he's just this glamorous, adorable little dog with Dickie. I've got to show you him. And we've got all our phones on flight mode and stuff here, unfortunately. But Dickie with his Facebook page, is that a good thing or a bad thing? I mean, it's great. I can look at pictures of him whenever I want.
I mean, yeah, it gives you access to him 24/7, doesn't it?
She always, encouraged me, but maybe it's because Dickie is a star.
Yeah, she wanted you to like our Facebook page, yeah. Didn't she?
So that damn it!
She manipulated you with her dog.
Yeah, it's a slightly odd ending. I'm not quite sure what the reasoning was behind it, but a great episode.
It was great, yeah. And I loved watching it again.
Yeah,
I've not seen it for a while, and but yeah, watching it again, you see so much more. There's so much to it. You can't take it all in one sitting.
Yeah, I think that's true of Black Mirror.
But it's made us want to go back and watch them all again.
Well,
yeah.
Maybe you've watched another one we could talk about.
Maybe I have. Who knows?
So that was us talking about Nosedive. Thank you very much for listening. If you enjoyed this podcast, please rate, review, subscribe, click all the stars, suggest to all your Instagram followers they should listen to this. Mention to Kylie Jenner the next time you're liking.
Yeah, tell Kylie.
Secret bringers you pictures. Mention it to all your old school friends and all your old school enemies.
Frenemies,
are they in between?
Yeah.
Yeah. And thank you for listening. Goodbye.